Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney. Christy Wowardy Dowardy.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay.
Susie, going toe-to-tobin.
Anna, God, I love that banana.
Anderson.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor. Ava Nagila Weber.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
We love you guys.
Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on Ye Olde Bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam, and over there is Ben Mandelker. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how's it going?
Just great. What a lovely Friday. God damn it! It's a great Friday.
Great Friday. This has been a long week, and I'm ready to wrap it up. I went to a Drake concert this week. I went to a baseball game. I was, like, really broing out. It's like, I need to get back to my gayness.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you're like, I don't know.
I've been pretty gay. Yeah, I mean, I've been pretty gay. So, you know, I'm marinating in my gayness.
Yeah, good. That's how gayness should be marinated.
Well, guys, you want to come see some gayness? Come to Watch What Crappens Live. Next month, which is November, we're going to be in Seattle. And then the month after, December, we're going to be in Nashville. Nashville is on low ticket alert. There's like 15 tickets left. So get your asses over there and buy some. To find ticket links, go over to watchwhatcrappens.com. There's a calendar with our upcoming dates. And those are our last two for 2018. So go get your tickets. Also, just for a couple of weeks, we're going to have King of Snarkasm. T-shirts. So go buy those. And then we're going to have some Christmas limited T-shirts coming out. Christmas in Hanukkah. Yeah. Coming out very soon. So go get those. You can also find links there at Watch What Crappens. That's also where you'll find links to our bonus episodes on El Patreon. We do a bonus episode every week. They're super fun.
Yep.
And what else?
You guys have to come to Seattle show. Ronnie has to get like 30 crowns in his mouth. So you please buy tickets, please, for the sake of his mouth.
I'm fixing my trash mouth. Okay.
Please.
Okay. So now, today, let's ask Gigi's money to borrow. Let's just ask Gigi's parents to borrow some money from my mouth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Because those parents will give you money for anything.
They really will. They will. So we're talking Shaw's of Sunset. A lot of people are like, where was the Shaw's recap from last week? We didn't do an official one, but we did touch on stuff on the Monday episode. So if you somehow missed that, go to our Monday episode. I forget the number, but it was with Married to Medicine, and we talked about Mike being just like a total douche faucet and Gigi doing her elevator pitch. So that was like really good to get that out of our systems earlier this week. But now we're back with an official Shaw's recap.
Yes, here we go. The Shores of Sunset.
Shores of Sunset. So the episode opens up with MJ going to a law office to do prenup, to get her prenup done. And she's just like dressed in like a little detective trench almost, you know, which made me wonder what sort of things that MJ's detective agency would look into. I feel like it'd be like, where did I put that Snapple bottle?
Yeah. Or like finding M&Ms in couches.
Yeah. What's the difference between like a Hershey's Symphony bar versus a Hershey's bar?
Her detective agency would be like trying to find change, and she'd just take it out of homeless people's hats. Like, what kind of person lives like this, goes into a marriage and is just like, I want all your money and you get none of mine? I'll tell you, a hilarious person.
Exactly. Yeah, because that's basically what she wants. She's like, listen, if you don't get a prenup, you'd be an idiot. You'd be an idiot not to get a prenup. And then they do a flashback of MJ and Reza at some cafe. And Reza's like, I didn't get a prenup. And then they cut back to MJ. And out of nowhere, she's holding this enormous bagel with, I swear to God, 12 different toppings. And half of them fall off all at once. And they added a sound effect of just like,
she's also wearing a lot of that on her face, which is hilarious. This is one of the only shows where people actually eat, and goddamn, do they eat. Like, yeah. This whole conversation was her with food on her face. And he's like, what do you mean? Let's have a chat when you show Tommy a prenup. Which, you know, I love that Adam made Reza not get a prenup. That really gives me so much more respect for Adam, I have to say.
Yeah. That's probably why Reza is just sinking all his money in the shampoo industry. Because he's like, I don't want Adam to have any of this. So therefore, he'll get 50-50. I'm going to get his money. He won't be getting my money.
Yep. Pretty much. So MJ is like, well, I have a little more money than Tommy. And, you know, there's so many things to worry about last minute before the wedding. I could become completely unglued. A prenup rather than a like, she's acting like she's doing this all in advance. It's 7 days before the wedding.
I know. She also acts like she's ordering from Cece's Pizza or something. She's like, I'll also have Toya in my prenup, please. Thank you. I would like that chair. Does that come with any ranch? Can we get some ranch on that prenup? Thank you.
Yeah, she's like, well, this is an insurance policy, but if his company becomes successful, I want half of his empire. And he's like, what are you saying he gets? She's like, nothing, okay?
Yeah.
That's what he gets. I want all of his money, but what's mine is mine. There's no 50-50 here. And then she tells us, I'm a feminist, okay? Do we split the pregnancy up and down the middle? No. I have invested in these eggs.
Yeah, which I didn't totally understand that logic, but I really appreciated the blackmail that she was unleashing on Tommy when she's like, listen, I'm protecting him, because if we split up, the last thing that he wants is for me to be mad. So she's basically like threatening him that if they split up, she's going to make his life hell unless he just pre-bribes her.
Yeah. She's like, do you want me to have to sue you for the rest of our lives for everything that you have? Or do you want to just give it to me right now?
Okay. Yeah. It's like, you've seen Vita. This is what I will be if we break up. I will turn into Vita, and you don't want Vita in your life.
Yeah. I don't think there's going to be any avoiding that. By the way, as someone who turned into his mother when he was 10 years old, let me just say, there's not a lot of avoiding that. Also, MJ, you know, MJ's the only person who could enjoy eating so much and give me so much life that she's even drinking a green juice that says eat on it. This woman knows how to do health.
Weren't you sort of surprised that, like, midway through this meeting with her lawyer, the camera just didn't cut to her and she just had, like, a 12-inch sub in front of her, like a tuna sub that really smells like tuna with red onion, you know, just like all over her face. Like, go on. Tell me more what's going to be in the prenup. Thank you.
So then we cut over to Nima, who, I mean, this guy's the biggest ass kiss in forever. I don't like him. Yes. What do you think? I still don't like him. I tried to.
I don't dislike him.
He seems
him,
nice,
but
he's such a douche.
I think there are way bigger douches on this show. He's fine. I just don't find him to be terribly interesting. Like, he doesn't offer that much to the show. He talks, you know, he talks very clearly, which I appreciate. You know, he's very corporate. He is basically like the guy who shows up on like an IBM commercial during football. Like, you know, during football, they show all these fucking corporate commercials to appeal to people who like work, you know, in corporate America, and like there's a commercial that's like, oh, well, with UPS, we'll get your company's systems up faster than otherwise. And then, you know, all these people who are like managers at companies have like boners. And I feel like Nima is one of them. Like, he gets turned on by an IBM ad. He gets turned on by like, ooh, it's a commercial by Intel, you know?
Brands. I love brands. Yeah, he's the kind of face that you look at and you're like, IBM is still around.
Yes, it is around. They wouldn't know it's around except that they advertise so much during football. And I'm like, why? Why do I have to be subjected to so many IBM ads? Like, I don't care. I'm not buying an IBM. I don't even know how one does buy IBM. It's just, it's like systems for companies. And like,
that's him. Why? He's like brands. He's like, hi, I'm here with brands. It's like, could you be more specific? Apple, chips.
You know who's my all-time hero is that UPS guy with the shoulder-length hair who would talk about logistics. God, he was great.
I came up with the brown shorts. Okay, so Knox. So he's knocks on her door. And also, I was going to say, I didn't like him that he dumped his girlfriend on national TV. But then I was like, you know, maybe just start with a clean slate. But then he comes in carrying Earth Cafe. Oh,
yeah.
Gross. You're gross.
I don't know if there's a way to say clean slate and also say you're pursuing Gigi. Like, Gigi is not a clean slate. She is like, She's like a slate with that weird sticky residue that comes onto your like vent over your stove from the oil that evaporates onto it. And you're like, how do I get this off? And you don't really know how to get it off.
You need to be quiet because she has like 20 machetes, okay? They showed a close-up on all of her knives, and it was terrifying. She's sitting there talking about how health, you know, he's bringing her a salad from Earth Cafe, and they're talking about how healing her business is, and they're sitting in front of a backdrop of like 500 bottles of booze and five knives and a huge machete that they keep pointing out.
Yeah, exactly. It's like not quite what you see on HGTV. And he, like, knocks on the door, and she's like, oh, Jesus, there's a doorbell. It's like, well, maybe he doesn't want to hear your Flo Rida doorbell right now, okay? Maybe it's like Chameleon Air. It's like, ding, dong, they say we're rolling.
I think it's like, ding, 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 ding. You are getting so hot. You're going to take your clothes off.
The Nelly doorbell? I was thinking it would probably be like, ding, 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 ding. Welcome to my house. It's a very on-the-nose Flo Rida doorbell.
Oh, I was going to do the song for Pass That Dutch, but there really is no song.
Ding, 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 ding. Pass the doorbell to the left-hand side.
So she's showing off her weed candles, and he's like, I want to talk about that elevator night, which basically I'm giving him Dorinda voice at this point.
Well, and he's got a mouthful of Earth Cafe, so it happens.
Yeah. He's like, gosh, I wish you would have taken it more seriously. I have a lot writing here.
Yeah, well, also, but before he really weighs into her, she's like, look, I ordered this diffuser, and it's also a light, and it has like shapes of cannabis leaves on it. And he's like, wow, you know what? I'm very proud of you for doing this. This is really great. Great initiative. I'm like, she ordered something from Hammacher Schlemmer. Okay. Let's relax.
He's like, I want to talk to you, but don't stab me now. Don't stab me. Don't stab me. I think everyone's rooting for Gigi to stab this guy. It's like even the cameras are like, Gigi, look over here. Knives!
I was rooting for the cat to finally get this little toy that's on the end of her like the fishing pole. So there's elevator. So yeah, he's like, now I don't know, like on elevator night, I don't know if you were too stoned or something like that. And then they do like a close-up of the knives again, like, you better not say anything more, Nima. He's like, but here's what I've figured out. When I was thinking about brands and systems and that amazing IBM commercial. So there are three versions of Gigi that I've met. Number one is Gigi, and she's going to stab you with knives. And she's like, yes, awesome. Best.
And he has pictures.
Yeah. He brings out pictures, which is a little creepy.
Number Go two. Ahead. I was just adding that he had pictures. Yeah. It was he's putting them out. Amazing.
It's almost like a weird, like, fake police interrogation, right? Like, this is what Keeper 7 will be doing, like pulling out the things like, here we have a picture of you outside of our hard perimeter. He's like, okay, here's a picture of you. You're Gigi. You stab people. You're crazy. You get drunk and you're embarrassing and you bring shame to your family. That's picture number one, okay? Picture number two is G. It's the girl who I have a huge crush on. She also stabs people and is embarrassing to her family. And then number three is Girl Nessa. Okay. Girl Nessa is someone who took a photo with her dad once.
And eats heads off of hamsters. And guess what? I like that girl too. She's like, oh, who is that woman? I'm not even that woman. I've never even seen that woman.
He's like, I just want to talk to Girl Nessa right now. Is Girl Nessa here with us? Can we get our Ouija board out? Girl Nessa, if you're here with us, knock over a knife from the cabinet. I guess she's not here.
He's like, look, when I was here working on your presentation with Servin, you were over there playing with your cat. You're in the big leagues now. No, she's not. Who says that you're in the big leagues now? Like, you had one meeting with her at your warehouse downtown, okay?
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that the cannabis industry has not established a big league yet. I'm pretty sure it's pretty new. Who is the big leagues? You are not. She is not in the big leagues, okay?
And then she starts getting very...
He's like, you're in the big leagues now. You need to have a hoop of fire with a tiger, not a dangling toy with a cat.
Do you want to be shredded gum or do you want to be Orbitz? Because the shredded gum is big leagues.
Uh, Do you want to have an Earth Cafe salad or do you want to have a tender green salad? Okay, you make the choice.
Yeah. And she's like, are you my partner? Then why do you think you know so much about me? Look, I'm curious. Why don't you think I'm not doing enough? Yes, get that nip. Yes, get it. Get it, cat. Get it, cat. It's like, GG, focus. I'm over here.
I was watching it with Dom, and he at this moment he goes, when she said, I'm curious why you don't think I'm doing enough, he goes, they have footage of you playing with your cat while you were stoned. Like, what more needs to be said? They got you on camera doing that during a business meeting.
It's like, I've launched four companies.
She's like, well, I've launched my cat into the air four times. What? Oh, I thought you got it. Like, wait till I bust out the flashlight.
Yeah, I've launched bottles full of lighter fluid and handkerchiefs lit on fire at the apartment across the street because their car alarm wouldn't stop going off. So,
yeah. She's like, listen, I've launched like five times this week. Oh, that's lunch, right? Oh, yes.
She's like, I'm launching right now. It's like, that's a salad.
So then Gigi's like, what Nima doesn't realize is that I've invested so much money into Woosa. And then they show all this footage of her, like, at a lab tasting lavender water. I'm like, spending your dad's money is a little different than, like, really, like, doing the work.
Well, also, the guy who's doing – I think there's a lot of middlemen involved because the guy she was talking to in the clip, he's like, yeah, do you taste that? It's a subtle anti-nausea kind of a thing. It's like, okay. Okay, so you don't know what you're doing either? Come on, not knowing?
I feel like that's like a song from like the late 90s from TLC. It's a subtle anti-nausea thing. Like Candy Burris totally wrote it.
As someone who smokes a lot of weed and has been here in Los Angeles through the progression of illegal, you know, buying it in alleys or having to spend hours on the couch pretending you like your weed dealer, etc., to just being able to walk in the store and seeing new brands out every day, and then it's vapes, and then it's wax, and then it's all this shit. And one of the first companies that came out with this, I started vaping the oil or whatever, and I almost died. And I've been smoking since I was 2 months old, okay?
Yeah.
I shouldn't be having coughing. And I was coughing and it tasted like gasoline. And they're like, oh, that's normal. That's how they extract.
Yeah. I was watching some of this. Oh, sorry. What?
No, nothing. It just terrified me to think that Gigi is in that because everyone thinks, oh, it's this regulated market. No, it's a very taxed market. Okay.
Yeah.
It's very taxed.
I was going to say that I was watching this, like, Beto O'Rourke town hall on CNN yesterday. And, you know, I love him. I think he's wonderful. And he was talking about, like, you know, legalizing weed. And he's like, well, what we got to do is we have to legalize it because, you know, like, it's happening. It's like, right now it's going to the kids and everything. And I was like, yes, Beto, yes. And then I watched this. I'm like, on the other hand, this means Gigi is working in the weed industry, and I'm not sure. I'm going for Ted Cruz now.
I know. Shaz has turned you from Beto to Tucker Carlson, like, in 5 minutes, in the span of 5 minutes.
Let's wind back the clock. That's what I want. Tucker
Too late. He's like a mini Joe Biden, and he's like, look, I'm on a skateboard. It's like, oh, good.
Okay. I like him. He's like dorky and sweet. And he's from El Paso, Ronnie, I noticed, because he mentioned that a few times. And he also, like, he does this adorable thing where anytime you ask a question, it's actually really annoying. I don't know why I'm saying adorable. It's actually so annoying. It's like, hey, Beto, what did you have for lunch today? Oh, thank you so much for that question. I had a BLT. It was wonderful. It was great food. And what we need to be doing is having everyone BLTs. Thank you so much for that question. Really appreciate it. Like, okay, calm down.
Got it. He's like, look, it's me in the Whataburger drive-thru. I'm like, okay, look, stop pandering for okay, and voting. I'm like flying to Texas to vote. I'm like, I'll vote for anybody who eats at Whataburger. That's all it takes for me. I'm very easy, okay?
Yeah, you know, I don't need a politician to say, thank you so much for the question. I need a politician to say, I just played Monopoly at McDonald's and I didn't win, but, you know, I'm going to try again. I'm like, you get me. Voting for you.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't care what percentage of Native American you are. What do you get on your Whataburger? Okay. That's what I'm voting for.
Yeah. We'll make Elizabeth Warren do that too. Listen. We'll pretend we didn't hear this whole ridiculous thing you did this week. Just go to Whataburger and we'll be like, totally.
Let's go. What percentage of your hamburger is jalapenos at Whataburger?
She's like, I put up a DNA chart, and my burger 6 generations ago had jalapeno. My cow ate a, 6 generations of cows ago, my cow ate a jalapeno.
Whoops. Okay.
Whoops. Speaking of generations, we now go to Reza at the Black Elephant Coffee Bar. Which for some reason we saw this like extended sequence of him ordering coffee. He's like, I would like a latte. And the barista is like, okay, great. I'll bring it right out to you. And he like goes outside and he's like, here it is, your latte. I'm like, really glad we tied that loose end up.
Yeah. Are we out of things to talk about on this show? I think that they kept that scene in because he was doing his Reza straight guy voice. You know how I'm gay, and by the way, I'm totally guilty of this, as you know, because you've been in plenty of Ubers with me. Where I'm
yes,
like, hey,
you do,
bro.
Do that. I do it too. I mean, like, I went to Drake.
It's like a gay self-defense thing, you know, where we're like, hey, how you doing, bro? And then the second we're in a gay bar, we're like, girl! We go over the top, you know. But he's doing this thing in the coffee shop where he's like, hello, I would like a large iced almond milk latte, bra. I was like, whoa, it was really manly. Someone throw him a football.
Bitch be like, I want an almond latte, yo. I think part of the fun of doing that, though, is, like, acting, like, super straight, and then you fool them. Everyone's like, yeah, he's, like, straight. Like, they never really believe you're straight, but they're like, oh, he's cool. He can hang with us. And then all of a sudden, just when they're, like feeling comfortable, you're like, hey, girl. They're like, ah.
You're on their penis. They're like, wait a second. I thought he was straight.
So anyway, the sexiest private eye in all of Los Angeles arrives. Monica. Monique. Her name's Monique, not Monica, but I just added the ka because she seems like she lives life with an extra ka. Like every time she says something, it's like, I'll have a coffee too. Ka.
Yeah, Monique the detective is very fancy. She's like, hello, it's me, Monique the detective. And that girl knows how to wear a detective coat. Wasn't she wearing like a red one?
I think so.
Us have competition, Emmy.
Why do we have Destiny when we could have Monique? Like, I want Monique to be the character. She just walks around and be like, you give me so little. You give me so little. Like, what am I supposed to do?
You give me so little, and I come with so much. That is what she said. I was dying. So then Reza, the ultimate, Reza, the Tamara Barney of the Shaws of Sunset, is like, yeah. Monique, I am so glad you got here first because I want to fill you in. I don't want Destiny to be here. Destiny and her mom are fucking us over on purpose. You need to yell at the mom. Do it. Do it.
How is it possible that Destiny's mom was able to find her husband 10 years ago, but now he's disappeared like a fart in the wind? I'm like, Reza, I guarantee none of your farts disappear, okay? Those are lingerers.
He's like got a fart sitting next to him drinking a latte. That gives birth to little Reza farts all over the place. Oh, I
that
hate
is
fart
so
humor.
Mean
I
to say that about Mike.
Mike hasn't been here the whole time. He's just a Reza fart that keeps giving new plugs.
He's a non-dissolving Reza fart. That is what Mike is. He's just like, Mike is that fart when like you're about to get in a car with friends, so you step like away and you fart, and then you're like, this way, I'm not gonna fart in the car, and then you walk into the car and the fart just sort of like follows you in.
Ooh,
like,
I hate
talking
about farts. I hate them.
It's so funny that you hate talking about poops and farts so much.
I really do, but you know what?
It's so weird that
you
don't.
I just
like
don't.
It.
I don't like it. It's just disgusting. Okay. It
makes me almost want to talk about it more.
No, Brandy. No.
So he's
like, we need to figure out why these charlatans are trying. Destiny comes up behind him and she's like, yes, and he's like, "Ooh!" He does that thing where he's been talking shit and he gets caught and he's like, what is up, my love? It's like so high pitched.
Bitch be like having a nice walk down the sidewalk and walking into me having a totally lovely conversation about not you.
And he also sips really nervously when he's been talking shit and he knows he's in trouble. He's like, so Monique's like, Oh, okay. Listen to who's quiet now. Mr. Silent Fart Man over there. Okay, look, I'll take over. I am confused. Your mother called your father when he went back to Iran. She has a number. And Destiny's like, I know nothing.
She's already crying. Monique's like, hello, Destiny. So we see a flashback of Destiny's mom, Tammy, who's just hating this process. And Destiny's trying to get information out of her mom. And mom's like, I do not know. I do not know. No, I absolutely have no idea. I absolutely do not have a folder with all the whereabouts of your father right now. No, I do not know.
I do not have results from 23 and your father. Right here in my desk. So, Moni, the detective's like, I have this much information. I come up with this many answers. There are 19,000 Ali Cesar Rezaeis who live in Iran. I'm like, uh-oh. That's quite a lot to sift through.
I know. And Reza is like the stat translator, or at least he thinks he is. She's like, there are 193 Rezas at whatever his name. What was the name of the father? Ali or something like that?
Ali Cesar Rezaeis.
There are 193 Rezas, Ali, Saza, and Reza be like, bitch, there are 103 Ali, Cezas in Iran. It's like, yes, Reza, don't try to cock block Monique, okay? Mm-mm. She's not going to like that.
And then he's like, and this is the percentage that have died. Like, jeez, yes. Who do you think you're making feel better here? And it's like, and so now it's like, if he is one of the ones who went back, what did he go back to?
Where did he come from? What does he like to do? So Destiny is just, so she's crying and she's doing this whole thing about how, oh, I, you know, when my, like 10 years ago, I totally shut out my dad because I didn't, I was scared. I was scared to see him and like, I felt rejected. So I shut him out and he probably thought I didn't give two shits about him. But the truth is I do give two shits about him. No, that's just the part that hasn't dissolved yet.
So there, he's like, let us call your mother. Goodbye, Monique June. So yeah. They go over and they call the mom and Reza's like standing back from the phone, like, don't get me in trouble. Now tell her she's a stupid hooker. No, I didn't say that. But he's trying to get her to say stuff, and she is, but she's sobbing. And she's like, oh my God, this is so hard to say to my mom. She's like, Mom, how could you have his nut? You know, they start questioning the mom, and the mom's like, where you want this info, M.A.? You suffer, I suffer, ping pong suffer.
So Tammy's like, I want to talk to Reza to knock some sense into you. So Reza's like, Tammy, you have to tell her that not knowing is killing her. All she does is cry. It's so annoying. We're trying to have a TV show here, and she just cries. I asked her the other day, do you smell that fart that hasn't dissolved? And she just started to cry.
Do you know why she started saying yes? And can you get her to stop?
Yeah. Tammy's just like, listen, it's embarrassing. I've always lived with having respect for myself, and I do not want to open up this chapter with my ex-husband again. They're like, good, you're feeling embarrassed? That means this is working. Tell us more.
You are now a full-time cast member. Congratulations. Mike is going to try to have sex with you one night, then call you a liar and slut-shame you. Welcome to the show, Tammy.
So finally Tammy starts giving information about like the grandparents and the brothers and the sisters and all that. So they're all happy, etc. I just don't know why, like, I mean, why is no one telling Destiny when she's like, I sent him away because he thought I didn't give two shits about him. Why isn't anyone saying to her, like, no, he was the adult and you're the child and it's not on you? Because that's ridiculous that she should feel that sort of way.
Yeah, well, it's the waters are so muddied just because I don't understand the situation. And I can't put myself in the place of, like, my dad had to go back to Iran, you know?
Yeah, so and also it's hard to care.
Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah.
It's also, like, really hard
It's
to
also
care.
Just, like, every scene. So, you know, I feel something, and then I feel less, and then I feel that, you know, it's like a scab that turns into a scar, you know? And but then you start ignoring the scar, and then eventually you're like, where did I get that scar, and how much does it cost to get removed? Okay? That's this Destiny storyline.
It's true. And, like, she really cries over everything. Like, I'm surprised she has not had an episode where, like, the peanut M&Ms she got out of the vending machine got stuck, and then she like cried to everyone and was like, it's just so hard because like I only allow myself to have so many carbs per week, and I chose it as today and they didn't come out, and I just felt like it was God saying don't have that, and like what sort of person am I that God is telling me not to have M&Ms anymore?
And the thing is, I like her, like I really like her, but
she's fine.
God, shut up.
It's time for a commercial. It's time.
Feeling tense or stressed out? Calm your mind, body, and soul and prepare for the best night's sleep of your life with Clarins new Beauty Sleep Wellness Treatment. Clarins are experts in skincare and also offer luxurious facials and body massages in their skin spas. Their new treatment, Beauty Sleep, incorporates soothing massage and plant-powered products to release stress and a relaxing facial to help calm your skin. Book online today at clarins.co.uk/skinspa. Clarins, it's all about you.
For a Crappens commercial.
Okay, yeah. So Mike's house. I love that they showed, they're like, Beverly Hills, the Hollywood sign, the Greek Museum. Mike's house in, like, God knows where. Where do you think his house is?
Well,
Silver Lake?
It's on a, no, he's, even though he likes to see himself as a hipster, he's not like a Silver Lake type. He's probably in like Cheviot Hills or some ridiculous place that like, you know, like that no one in LA actually goes to or lives in, but he would be there, you know? That's where I say he's in Cheviot Hills, or he's like in Sherman Oaks.
Okay, I'll go with that just because it's funny. So then Mike's dad comes over and he brings over a appliance extension cord, and Mike's like, thank God he's an electrician.
Like, thank God he has an Amazon Prime account. Like, pretty much everyone's doing this house for Mike, right? Reza did everything. Now his dad is doing all the electrical stuff because his dad's an electrical contractor or whatever. And Mike's like, yeah, me and my dad are identical in the way we look and the way we act. Like, we're both total assholes, and I think that's great. So awesome to be just like my dad.
He's like, Dad, I love your skinny jeans that don't fit you properly. It's just like me.
No, his dad's fine, but I'm like, if Mike is saying that he's just like his dad, that's more of an indictment on the dad than it is.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm like, the dad is missing like eyebrow pencils and plugs. But okay.
Where's the dad's proprietary baby shoes? That's what I want to know.
So let's have another Mike victim scene, guys.
Yeah. Mike finally tells his dad that he broke up with Morgan, and he's like, I haven't been eating or sleeping since the breakup. I'm like, that actually sounds like it's probably a good thing for you.
It's also completely untrue. I think all you've been doing is sleeping and eating since the breakup, okay?
Yeah.
We've seen clips of you in bed for like hours after hours upon hours and eating a lot, okay? I'm not saying that that's bad, but.
Yeah. Like, he looks like he always just woke up. Like, I know that look because I see it on myself.
Yeah, I know I'm extremely judgmental on this show, but in this case, I would say do more coke.
So Mike is relaying what happened. So he said, you know, like, we were having an argument, and, like, I was saying, like, well, if you don't like it, get out of my house. And she said, you know
what,
you really fucked up to me.
Get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah, and she said, you know.
Like, oh, I just said.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt you. What'd you say?
No, go on.
He's like, she said, you have anger issues. And I thought, Dad. It's like you. Remember when you had anger issues? Because we're twins, you know? So, like, all of this is just like you, Dad, right? But then you calmed down at some point and nothing bothered you. And he's like, yes, when life was set, I had a good wife. I had good kids. Why should I be angry? And Mike's like, they've been married 43 years. I'm like, so then he's nothing like you, Mike, okay?
Exactly.
You just, like, screamed curse words at a woman who's done nothing but clean your house and learn to cook your food.
Yeah, okay. You just dated a table lamp for a year and a half, okay? With eyebrows.
And made it look more intelligent than you.
Yes, exactly. Like, I was on the table lamp side.
Yeah, I'm actually fighting for the clapper over there.
Like, I'm, at this point, I'm like rooting for the Hewlett Packard printer, okay, over you.
He's like, listen, Morgan. Just disappears.
So basically, the dad's like, I want to see a grandchild and everything, yada, yada. And Mike is doing this bullshit. He's like, I just want to do it right this time. I just want to do it right. I want to make sure I do it right. I want to give you – I don't want to – part of me would die if I didn't do it right. And then it's like, well, Mike, stop saying that. You've been saying that for like 3 years. So like, either do it right or like stop like, stop saying you're going to do it right.
And then doing it wrong.
And then, like, go, like, he says, I'm going to do it right. And then he goes to a club and he brings back, like, a piece of plastic.
Yeah. Well, he also said, I want to do it. The dad said, I want you to do it natural. I don't really know what that means. And then Mike's like, it's hard, man. So then the dog park, MJ and Doggy. MJ and Tommy show up to this dog park. And Tommy's like, there's like 40 dogs here. What the hell? Yeah. It's like, it's a dog park.
So. Yeah, she goes, it's a dog park. That's why. Gigi is there with her little fishing pole. She's like, why are they not reacting? I'm so stoned. All these weird-looking cats.
MJ's like, these dogs, our dogs have given us so much. We've decided to create Pablo's Paws to give back. It's a dog collar and t-shirt line. You put it on your dog, and they instantly freeze. Okay? Then you can keep them forever.
You put it on your dog, and the dog instantly demands 50% of your income. You also, put it on your bagel, and you keep the toppings don't fall off.
Also, just another reminder to everybody, contribute in a meaningful way with a portion of the sales means we're giving 5% to get a tax break.
Okay? Yeah.
There. You're welcome.
Exactly. So they start talking about the prenup thing, and MJ goes, people think I'm nice, but I'm not. I'm like, I don't think anyone ever thought you were nice, MJ. We've been watching this show for like 7 years now. Yeah. Never. I mean, you put your dog in the freezer, okay?
It's like, people think I'm nice, but I'm street. I'm like, no, I think people think you're street. So that said,
should she be?
Oh, God, I don't know. A cul-de-sac. Like... It just goes in circles around and around and around. You can change the bushes, but yeah. You're just going in circles.
I feel like she's Western Avenue. Like it's a major avenue here in LA for sure. Significant. But it's like never quite that pleasant to go down, and you can't get anywhere quickly on it.
And it always sounds like the freeway.
It's like hard to make a left turn.
So I have to say, all this said, that MJ is my hero of this episode because of that prenup scene. Oh my God, I will never forget that. I was dying so hard. And now she's showing up with like some weird bleach blonde hair, which I also love. So
yeah, I was actually, it's so funny that you say that because I was thinking about it too. I was like, she's a disaster, but I just love MJ. I really do.
This show needs MJ.
Oh yeah, well, it will have MJ for a while, okay? It doesn't need it. Doesn't some of the other people it doesn't need, but it definitely like Reza, MJ. As long as we have those two, we have a good show.
Yeah.
Well, we have a show, I should say.
Yeah. There's a show on television. There, you heard it here first.
Yeah, I liked also in this scene we saw Tommy. This flashback to Tommy with his attorney Hillary Slavin, and he's like, "What is it? She wants to take like 50%? I feel like this is like very one sided, right, Hillary Slavin?" And she's like, "Yes, you should run for the hills."
Yeah, she's like, "It's funny that you say that because I was looking it over and it screamed one sided to me." And he's like, "This is so Persian." It's like she wants this, she wants that. What's she gonna want? My butt hair next? Like, what is she gonna want? She's gonna want my stressicles in there, huh?
So, we then go over to Gigi. She's loading stuff into an SUV with her cousin Damien because she's gonna be doing this launch party for Woosa. She's like all nervous because she's gonna have to do a speech, and we know that she does not do speeches well. And she tells her cousin, "I'm gonna be like Obama." Which made me feel really uncomfortable. I was just like, the audacity of hopelessness. That's what I'm going to call her speech.
Also, she's obviously never heard an Obama speech. She goes, "I'm going to do it like Obama, short and memorable." I was like, what are you talking about? Those are not short speeches, okay?
Yeah, do you know how long Oprah was resting on that guy's back on election night? Like a long time.
Those are not short.
I have scoliosis now.
So Gigi's like, "Oh my God, cousin, you have anxiety too. I feel it." I'm like, "You're just stoned, okay?" I like that they're like,
he's in a confined space with you. Everyone in that situation has anxiety.
Yeah, and he does have that like terrified face. He's like, "Please let me out of this car. I've been asking since we were children. Please stop putting me in the car with Gigi."
Yeah. So, yeah. And so then she's like reflecting back on how much she's grown over the years. And so we got to see a montage of her like screaming and fighting. And we got to see her like the claw scratch heard around the world when she hit Adam.
So,
Golnessa or whatever he says, Gigi. It makes me laugh so hard every single time.
I don't know if I'll ever be able to forgive you. Okay, I forgive you. Let's go to lunch.
And she's like, I even look better than I did then, while her face looks like two Goodyear blimps just like had sex.
How dare you? Actually, lips. I think she does look better. I think the hair. I think they've all improved hair-wise, because when they showed that clip of MJ from a few years ago, I was like, how was that like 2 years ago? She looks crazy.
I like actually Gigi. I actually don't love the hair that she's doing this year. I think it actually makes her look older. I like it when she – I like a straight hair Gigi situation. I just think that she's like overdone it with the fillers in her lips. That's all. But she's very pretty, and we've met her in person. She's gorgeous. I just think the fillers like – you know, yeah, we did. Remember last year we went to that OK – magazine
yeah.
party, I think.
I remember meeting Shervin.
We met Gigi. We were talking to her outside.
Oh, sorry. So she's like, so we get this. I was drunk. So we get this clip of her, you know, like stabbing the tree. And she tells us, yeah, you know, the old Gigi was like fighting, drunk, and on pills, fighting again. I'm like, okay, so are you saying you're not drunk and on pills still? Because you're still drunk and on pills. I mean, just say you're not fighting anymore, okay? Also, this is the same story of everybody who takes weed as medication, okay? We've all just stopped fighting.
Exactly. She's like, the old Gigi was on pills and drunk and high all the time. And the new Gigi is here addressing both houses of Congress. And honestly, what an honor. I'd like to thank Joe Biden for being here. And good night, good luck, and God bless America. She's
yes,
like,
we
can.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Okay.
Woosah. So let's see. She's like, the guest list. Oh my God, everyone's confirmed plus two. I wasn't prepared for this. Like, that needs to go on her gravestone. I wasn't prepared for this. She's going to be shocked going to her grave. Like, I wasn't ready. We know, Gigi. Okay, just be buried already.
So then we go to Reza and MJ in a car, and there's like sad music playing. And MJ has her dad's ashes, and they're going to be spreading the ashes over the sea.
Yeah,
in
super
Malibu.
Fun scene. Super fun time, guys.
I know. Reza's like, you know, it's really good that you're going to be spreading his ashes because it's not good feng shui. Like, oh, that's what's most important here.
Well,
and then
neither
he goes,
is Adam. Move him. Just kidding, Adam. I love you. So he's like, this is
neither
hard.
Neither is that Hermes robe blanket.
He's like, this is really hard because my cat Buzzy passed 2 weeks ago. Now, this is extremely sad. But please don't bring your dead cat into my dead dad's scene, okay?
Yeah, I'm not going to take away the grief one feels from losing a pet, as a lot of us have been there. I remember my dear sweet cat Elijah. It still makes me sad when I think of Elijah, like being in college freshman year and getting the call from my parents that they had to put Elijah down and I wasn't able to say goodbye and all that stuff. It still makes me sad to this day. However, this is MJ's father, okay? Like, and yes, Buzzy was there. It was a cat for Reza for 16 years, which is really amazing. And like, I totally get his sadness. But again, it's a dad. It's
yeah,
a dad
save
night.
It. You can have your own scene for
save
that
for a
later.
Different episode. Yeah.
And he's like, Shamps. They go to Malibu to scatter him in the ocean. He's like, I want to thank you so much for being cool and let me come out of the closet to you. And also for giving MJ your personality instead of Vita, because I love her, but she's a straight up hater. Jeez.
Oh, look, it's a bunny. I'm telling you, that's a sign. It's a sign. Shamps came back as a bunny. How? Oh, look. A bird just ate the bunny. Uh-oh.
The bunny just got hit on the PCH. Whoops.
That must be another sign. What is he being reincarnated into next? What a fast life cycle.
Only these two could make you laugh while they're scattering ashes. Because they can't seem to scatter them anywhere. And finally, they just dump them kind of on a rock.
Yeah, they just – first it blows back on the – first, like, they try to throw it into the sea, and it goes off to the cliff. Then they try to throw it again. It gets into their mouths. This is very, like, Sonia and Milu. And then finally, like you said, they just, like, sort of just dump it. they sort of like treated it the way, like, if I get a stain on my carpet and I'm like, oh, gotta get that OxiClean on it, I just sort of like dump the OxiClean.
They just move a coffee table over it.
Yeah. And by the way, it was so nice of MJ to wear her her formal grieving crop top for the occasion.
So then we go over to Gigi's party, and it's a typical Bravo party where it's like, where are all the employees? They called in sick. Oh, no, we need more tables. I'm never going to make this happen in time.
We have to move the tables. We have to move the tables. And then Gigi's like, because it's like, Gigi is coming into her own. She's telling people to get more tables. She needs tables. She understands that a space that has too much space needs a table right in the middle of it. And
oh, my like, God, she's grown so much.
I know. And my favorite part, this was totally an – I feel like this was a message to the audience, because Gigi's like, you know what? I've always wanted to have some bitches, you know? Like, they'll be my bitches. Like, I want some bitches. I'm going to have some bitches. They're going to be my bitches. And then they just cut to Shervin walking in.
He's here.
He's here. You said you wanted one. Here he is.
So Shervin shows up in a Miami Vice suit and an undershirt made out of hair, which is an interesting – interesting fashion choice.
Yeah.
Then back to the beach. Who cares? Fast forward. Then Mona and Nima are talking at their house for a little pre-party, and he's like,
Before you get to Nima, I do say there was one thing that happened at that going back to the beach thing that I thought was funny, was when they were sitting there talking about shams and everything, and Reza talks about Buzzy, his cat, and he's like, I have to say, he was the best thing I ever had, ever. Buzzy the cat. Best thing ever. I can't think of a single other animal or person, even a person that I could possibly even live with, who is better than Buzzy. Buzzy the cat. Best thing ever.
I wish Buzzy was here so I could tell it that I'm spending $500,000 on a shampoo line.
I almost wish that I could find a surrogate for Buzzy to have little Buzzies. That would make me so happy, because Buzzy's the best thing I ever had.
I wish I had babies with Buzzy, preferably twins.
You know, if Buzzy and I were ever to get married, I would never, ever, ever cancel the wedding day and go to Thailand, because Buzzy means that much to me.
I'm giving 80% of my money to bury with Buzzy. The only thing I've ever truly loved.
Somewhere, then Gigi shows up with her little fishing pole trying to get Buzzy's ashes to swap the thing.
You just hear Adam over the hills like, hey! So then over at Mona and Nima's, Mona is dressed like a houseplant, like a Vegas houseplant, and Nima is wearing like some weird seersucker shirt.
I was inspired by the latest IBM ad. This is sort of the look that they're going for these days, so I thought I would follow suit. Get it?
Brand. So he's like, oh, gosh, Mona, that's a twist off, but okay. It's like, please just fast forward through these two. So then, please.
There's like a knock at the door, or like a door. The doorbell's like, ding dong, it's Mike. So Mike shows up, and he is wearing this fedora that has like, it's like, you know, like those jeans that are like pre-faded, like, ooh, you've been wearing these jeans for 5 years and look what they look like. But guess what? You just bought them today, like pre-stressed, whatever. So his hat's like pre-stressed. So it has like these weird blue marks and like weird copper tone things.
He had a fedora with a blue paint swipe on it. Okay. What the hell?
Yeah. Yeah. It was awful. Absolutely. Like Mike needs to just. He needs to go away for a little bit. Send him to like Joshua Tree.
Send him to like wherever you send used tires, you know, and you just like put him up and start him on fire or whatever. So Mike comes, and I love that Mike low key hates Nima, which I'm assuming we'll see a lot of later in the season, because we sure as hell see it on Instagram, and it is hilarious. I don't think any of them like Nima anymore. I was scrolling through Instagram today, and they were all at Evine for something. And so it's the whole cast, and then you could tell, like, right at the last minute, Reza kind of turns to hug Frankie Avalon or whoever they're with, and like kind of covers Nima's face. It's just like Nima behind the whole group. And then they have another picture right after that, and Nima's not even in it. I'm like, God, this cast hates Nima, and I love it.
I don't know if we're going to see that much more of, like, I don't know when this feud is going to happen, because we're on episode 10 already. And so I can't see this season going on for more than 14 episodes.
Well, they seem to already be messing with it, because Mike's like, what are you dressed like that for? Are you going to be the server? What are you, the server?
And yeah, she's
like,
Mike,
I like it. It's very Hampton. So, like, shut up, houseplant. Okay.
Well, I like Mona, because when they call up, so they're like, where's Reza? So they call up Reza, and he's like, we're in Malibu, and we're scattering ashes, and the traffic is so bad, and we ran over Shams in bunny form by accident, and we are feeling very sad. So then Mike is like, you know, he's like, let me speak to MJ. Let me speak to MJ. I want to speak to MJ. And so he's like babbling, doing his like little sermon with MJ. And they cut to Mona. She just rolls her eyes like, oh my God, this is so boring. Can we like go to the pot party yet?
I dress Reza and MJ, I mean, what dicks, okay? Like you had to go scatter your dad's ashes on this day. They're haters, those two. They are fucking haters. They
know.
Can't show up to support Gigi on her stoop. I mean, not granted, look.
Would you rather go to Malibu or a party by Gigi?
It's not what I'd rather. It's like they're supposed to be your friends. What dicks?
It's true.
They're like, whoops, booked the beach on this specific day during your event. It's like, come on, guys.
It's true. Well, yeah.
And then after what they did to her at the beginning of the season, where they invited her ex's ex to that event, and we're going to bring her up on stage. I mean, these two are really trying to get Gigi to stab them in the face. And this is a testament to the good that Weed does.
Yeah, okay? she's really grown a lot. So now it's at her event, and like, you know, the usual people arrive. Destiny shows up. Gigi's parents are there. Adam doing that like untucked shirt with a blazer. I don't like that look. Craig and Brandon, they're all there. And Nima's like, whoa, wow. I'm really blown away by Goldnessa. I mean, she really put this event together. Like, that's amazing. I can tell she actually told someone where to put a table, and that's like a lot of growth.
She totally changed since the elevator test. Like, that was like 2 days ago.
IBM. That stands for I be mad impressed. Oh, I guess that's IBMI. Whatever.
Mike's like, look, you know, let's go show her an extra good time tonight. You're wearing high water pants, so this will be great. Like, says the guy in a fedora.
And he's like, I'm like in awe of Gigi, because like during my divorce, like handling my divorce, I was like a mess. I could barely do anything, you know, but she's been like strong and she's been really great. She's like I'm woman, hear me roar. I'm like, that's because she was in a sham marriage for like 3 months. I don't think it was that hard for her to get over.
Yeah. Well, his either. Well, I guess he was with Jessica a lot longer.
Yeah. Yeah. More than Shalom.
Not married maybe, but together.
Yeah.
So yeah, at the party, Gigi's like, are you excited for me? And yes, Destiny just says her only line. She's like, yes! Yes!
Breast pat.
So then Gigi is telling Craig and Brandon, she's like, listen, gays, I have new handles now on Snapchat, okay? It's Woosah. And they're like, yes, girl, we've got it. Noted.
Now, what does that mean? Why did you name her company Woosah again?
Says everyone she ever calls for credit, they're going to be like, could you please spell that? It's Woosah! That makes
sense.
It's
kind of like anytime we have to do anything businessy, like with our Watch Our Crappins. Every time we go to the bank, they laugh at us. We Watch Our Crappins.
Yeah.
You're not one to talk.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, and now is the customary time when all the bros get together and shame Gigi for the ring. Like, you're antagonizing Shalom. You should give back the ring. You're antagonizing him. Poor Shalom. I'm like, stop it.
Yeah, says Mike right after he says how proud he is of Gigi and how glad he is to support her. He's like, now I'm going to try and get her to scream and yell and make an ass out of herself at her own party.
Exactly. Like, what do you think is funding Woosah? It's that $165,000 ring, okay?
These guys. They're all still talking to him, and they're all like, oh, yeah, stop it. You know, you're triggering him with this ring. You're triggering him with it, okay? You know, essentially, you let go of the ring. Mike, no. And I hope Jessica didn't give back your ring either, sucker. You guys got, like, a huge discount on those things anyway.
Yeah, exactly. If Shalom was dumb enough to give a super expensive ring to Gigi, he should suffer the consequences, which is he does not get the ring back.
Yeah, and she's and Shervin's like, you've been antagonizing him with this ring. You made this monster, and you can stop it. I'm like, you're about to make a monster, okay? She's about to slice you down the face with that ring, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, yeah. Team Gigi. So Gigi now gives her speech, which is like the, you know, usual thing. She's like, oh my God, this microphone, is it on? Like, are there like so many people? Oh my God, I'm nervous. I'm making a speech. I'm Gigi. Oh, anyway, you know, weed, am I right? Like, when I got this autoimmune disease, I was like, this is happening for some reason. And now I just want to give it to everyone in the world. I'm like, you want to give rheumatoid arthritis to everyone in the world?
And Nima's like, it's like watching your kid go up there. God, I want to fuck her. Like, you're creepy. So then Destiny, right when Gigi says, I realized when I was diagnosed with this autoimmune disease, Destiny goes, yes!
She probably thought it meant like her Gigi's car is like immune from getting into an accident.
Her car won't get dents. Finally, it can drive on the freeway next to Mike.
I always told her you have to get auto insurance, and she said, guess what, I'm gonna be autoimmune. I was like, yes girl, yes.
So then this lady comes up and she's like, we are thinking about having you on the cover of our magazine. It's like,
the Penny Saver.
Yeah, they didn't name the magazine.
Yeah,
it's like that one in Southwest Airlines or whatever.
We here at Cat Fancy Magazine have seen the great work you've done fooling your cat into thinking it could ever catch that little bird at the end of the stick. Stupid cat, you're gonna be on the cover of Cat Fancy Magazine.
And then this cheesy guy, I think his name is Ryan from Greenstone, he's like, wow Gigi, I just don't think it could have gone better. That was amazing. And because everyone's feeling it so deeply, Greenstone Marijuana is willing to take the next step if you put in the hard work and the effort.
And we are a legitimate company, don't you worry. Very, very legitimate.
Yes, totally reasonable. And Gigi's like, oh my God, this is a huge deal, this company. They do manufacturing, distributing, cultivating. I was like, so you don't do anything. You're basically a person that's selling lip gloss and slapping Gigi on it.
I'm just at this point imagining, was it the meek shall inherit the earth from Little Shop of Horrors? You know, like the sequence, like Seymour's becoming popular. You know, like da 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 da.
It's just, you know, weed plants popping up everywhere and Gigi eating people.
Yeah, except that Audrey 2 is like, leave me, Gigi.
Leave me all night long.
Just not one. It's like not having. Not it's having like, any part of Gigi.
The only people that the Audrey 2 won't eat are the Shaw's cast. It's like, nope.
You'll be a Gigi, be a Gigi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. She would be torturing people the whole time.
She would be. She loves that.
Nima's like, she is next level. Ryan's like, well, she better work her ass off and never stop. He's like, oh, I'm completely blown away. God, she's like a different person from Elevator Night. Now she said thank you to her mom on stage and made a bad karaoke joke. Businesswoman!
I'd like to thank the Ouija board for giving me real Golnessa for tonight. Wow, I'm so proud of you. You know, this episode should be over right now, but how about we spend 2 minutes watching me creep on you a little bit, okay? Let's do that right now.
Yeah, that's how this ends. Ugh. And so basically they're flirting, and she's like, ha, 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 ha. So you're going to pretend tomorrow like I'm the one all over you and you're all over me? And he's like, oh, gosh, we switch when we're wasted, right? I'm like, ugh, you guys are gross. You're gross enough sober, and it's really gross now. And he tells us, look, everyone thinks it's just me who's, like, totally slobbering all over Gigi. But when the event's over, that's when the texts start to disperse. She'll be like, hi. And then she'll be like, how are you doing?
She'll send one time she sent me an emoji of a tennis racket, and I was like, I see what you're doing there, I get it. So I sent her back an emoji of swimmer. She sent me back an emoji of a Christmas tree. I sent her an emoji of just sort of like a sort of an, it was a symbol from that one category that no one ever uses. I just sent her a random one from there, and she was like, okay. She sent me a compact disc. It's great.
She said BRB, and I was like, whoa, she wants me.
Yeah. So it's like not quite as one-sided as it may look. There are actually two sides, and both are equally terrible, just so you know.
Yeah. Truly. Yeah. Gross. I have never rooted against a couple more. Please don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah, Destiny's like, I'm totally team Nima and Gigi. I'm like, thanks. That really means a lot to me right now. Like,
yeah.
Glad
yes,
you're the...
Yes, yes, yes!
Monique appears in like a black cloak. Wah! Big news.
I brought in 19 Reza Volusios from Iran.
I've just discovered... Big box of Triscuits, now available at Costco. Wah! Like, Monique, you looked at the wrong thing.
That brings us to the end of the Shaws of Sunset. We will be back next Monday with a little something or other.
I know, but you know what? It's actually Friday right now. And so as a result, we haven't done Crappin's mailbag in a second. So why don't we, like, dip our hands right into that mailbag? And read some questions, because we don't want people to think we forgot about him, okay?
Do it, man.
Ding, 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 ding. There it is.
Mailbag.
I want to do a new mailbag theme song, by the way. If anyone wants to make us a mailbag theme song, go ahead. So, okay. Here's the Crappin's mailbag, by the way, is where you can ask us questions and we'll read them on the air. And you go to patreon.com/watchourcrappins. And if you support us at the mailbag level or above, you can do this. So here's one from someone named Becca After Dark.
Ooh, I like it.
I know. Becca After Dark says, okay, gentlemen, here's my query. Let's say that each franchise is a house, a la Game of Thrones. Who ultimately wins the day and why?
Who would get the Game of Thrones at the end of Game of Thrones out of all the housewives?
Yeah, well, which I guess sort of like what house are the various franchises, and then who actually wins the throne?
Oh, we did this one, I think.
Well, we've applied Game of Thrones to Dallas, but in terms of the actual franchises, well, I mean, who is supposed to win it? I'm assuming the Starks, right? Even though, I never root for the Starks. I'm sorry, everyone. I root for some of them, but I find that Starks are the most boring. But I feel weird because I feel like New York ultimately gets the throne. New York, Real Housewives of New York, to me, gets what's it, the Iron Throne? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, the Starks. But the Real Housewives of New York, I feel like in spirit are more like the Lannisters, right?
No, I think they're like the Starks because they were down and out, right? Everyone got killed.
they live somewhere cold.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, they were all going to die. They wear terrible furs. everyone thought they were down and out. And then boom, they rise again, you know?
Who is Ned Stark in that? Ned Stark is like...
Jill Zarin, probably.
Yeah, I was about to say Jill Zarin. So then, if New York is that, then what would be the Lannisters? What is like? Is that Beverly Hills?
Well, that's like a creepy brother and sister boning, right? So who would be close? That's all I can think about.
It's like Shaw's of Sunset.
Yeah, it's like Shaw's of Sunset. But I don't want to give Mona and Nima the credit.
Let me tell you something. Shaw's of Sunset is not a major house in Game of Thrones. Shaw's of Sunset is like House Frey, you know? Like one of those minor houses. Or like they're like the Boltons or something, you know?
Yeah.
Really. I feel like Beverly Hills is like House Tyrell, which is like they were great. I was rooting for them. They have like a Lisa Vanderpump. They have like Lady Olana or whatever is like Lisa Vanderpump. Like I really, really like them, but truly they are not. They are becoming extinct very quickly. You know, like they are losing their relevance very, very quickly.
Yeah, Real Housewives of Dallas is one of those families that they're like, I'm a family, and then they're just dead. You're like, wait a minute,
Dallas. They're like the IRE or whatever. I don't know. Dallas could sort of be the. Actually, you know what? I think that Vanderpump Rules are the Lannisters.
Okay, I'll go with that.
They're sort of like all evil.
And they're all kind of like fucking each other like brothers and sisters.
They really are. And like they have a really strong claim to the throne, but it feels like they're too evil to really get it, you know?
Yeah, like they shamed Stassi and made her walk down naked and like said, shame, shame, shame. And you're like, oh my God, Stassi has learned so much. And then you like start believing it. And then she like pushes somebody out a window.
Yeah. And like Atlanta is definitely like the Baratheons because they like the Baratheons, like they, you know, they have the highest ratings. So they were like king or queen in this case. And they have like a really good claim to the throne, you know, like, you know, Stannis. Like, well, it should be me now that Robert's gone. So it really should be Atlanta. But they have so much infighting. They sort of are, like, incompetent in a certain way that they, for some reason, they're not quite Iron Throne worthy.
Yeah. So who do you think wins?
Oh, by the way, and who's the Targaryens? Who is our Mother of Dragons?
Oh, gosh. Well, everyone says that. That they are that. Everyone claims that on Instagram, you know. They're like, oh, my God, that is so me, the Mother of Dragons.
I'm actually going to say, believe it or not, I think I want to say that Dallas is Targaryens, and here's why. Because they were out there in the desert for a while. People are like, Dallas? Who are they? For years, they didn't even have a show. They were, like, totally irrelevant. Like, and then they come around, and they are quietly kind of, like, amazing and amazing, amazing. And now you have, like, Leanne Locken and Deandra and Brandy and Stephanie and Kate, they're just like all dragons, and they're coming for the throne, you know.
Okay, well, I'll give you that, but I do predict that Kenya will give birth to dragons. So I guess time will tell the answer to this mailbag.
Yeah. Do you want to do one more question? Let's do one more question. Okay, Julia Conlin asks, which impressions of fired cast members or cast members of canceled shows do you guys miss doing the most? Don't be afraid to go all the way back to Kel on Earth.
I miss all the gallery. I mean, these answers are always the same for me, and I'm so sorry to, like, repeat myself, but I miss all the gallery girls. I saw that little Ashley is, like, speaking for WWE now. She's like, ah,
no.
Miss her. The Melbourne ladies are not canceled. They just got renewed, so congrats. But they might as well be, because we don't even have their last season yet on American TV. Miss them so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have to say Melbourne is the one that I've been missing doing the most. That's all those Australian accents, like they stay with me to this moment. So I'm having a hard time with that. And if Joao does not come back to Below Deck Med, I will probably miss doing him.
Ew,
and Brooke. I don't like him, but I'm just saying I like doing their impersonating them.
Yeah, I'm trying to think going back all the way. You know what? One thing I really regret never being able to do. Is what? Tim Gunn. I'm so mad that we're going to finally get to do Project Runway and we're not going to have Tim Gunn. I mean, pissed. I'm pissed. I know.
It's so rude. I'm really unhappy about
rude.
That.
Rude.
All right. So let's close this up.
Okay, everybody. We sure love you. Thanks so much for listening to Watch What Crappens and for all the support. For tickets to our live shows, find ticket links at watchwhatcrappens.com. Seattle in November, then Nashville in December. For t-shirts, King of Snarcasm, go over to watchwhatcrappens.com. Also, you'll find links to t-shirt. That's also where you'll find our Patreon links for bonus episodes. We will talk to you Monday with some Married to Medicine.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
For a weekend. Bye.